We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you are. Happy new month to you once again. It's the 1st of August, 2022, and we'll bid you welcome to a very amazing month. If you are celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you. This is me depositing my happy birthday and happy celebrations for everybody celebrating anything, one thing or the other, in the month of August, okay? I don't owe you any happy anything, no. Happy celebrations for the month of August, eh? Everybody, good. Let's also quickly say that for the hunters, are you ready, hunters? Hunters, are you ready? Say yeah, yeah. Are you ready, hunters? Ah, good, 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 good. Now, what you're looking for today, if you are one of our hunters, yeah, we actually have hunters out there who would go out into the wilderness of our mobile app to go and look for a treasure, and once they find the treasure, they get rewarded. That's right. So, hunters, be the first to find a picture of the largest planet in the world on the Nigeria Info app. Win 5,000 Naira. That's it. The largest planet in the galaxy. Just find it. The picture. Click on it. Something will pop up. Fill in your details. If you are the first to complete this, see, listen, so this is how it goes. If you do it, you finish it complete, you will still get a congratulatory message. It doesn't mean that you are the fastest, so do you understand me? So we at the back end will know the fastest person. So that person will be the person that will win 5,000 Naira on the crossfire today. May the fastest hunter win. Okay, let's move on. I'm Sharif Quadri. Nice to meet you. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch on those two platforms. Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube. Let me know what you think. So this morning, we would start with what we started this show with, and that is the state of the nation. Insecurity. According to the Cable Index, and the review of daily media reports published between January and March 2022, as well as data sourced from the Council on Foreign Relations, 1,743 Nigerians were killed in the first quarter of 2022 owing to insecurity. That's just it. Now, this Cable Index excluded the killings by security operatives and the death of suspected criminals like Boko Haram insurgents and the rest of them. These are just insecurity killings. It didn't include the killings by security operatives or the death of criminals like Boko Haram. Just killings. Now, according to a report by Premium Times, which was dropped yesterday, 31st of July, they also gathered data from media reports, and they can report that non-state actors killed at least 65 police officers. Non-state actors, like unknown gunmen, terrorists, bandits, name it. 65 police officers in the first half of this year, between January and June. Aside from the slain law enforcement officers, at least 92 other security operatives were killed in the same period, the first half of this year. 92. This includes 81 soldiers, 2 correctional service officials, 2 NDLEA officers, 5 officers of the NSCDC, and 2 FRSC officials. All of these numbers, the one from the Cable, the one from Premium Times, they did not take into account those dead bodies you find by the roadside, those infighting in communities, the cult clashes, all of those things that were not reported in the media. Which means these numbers are highly conservative. If you now go into the main thrust of the insecurity of today, you have boundary disputes, you have land disputes, you have ethnic divides, you have all sorts, terrorism, banditry, kidnap for ransom, just name them. take those into account, then you know that it's worth talking about. It's a big issue on our table. And the Apple TV social commentator, public affairs commentator, joins us right now. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Andy, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today. Andy, can you hear me? Oh, I think Andy dropped out. We'll try and get Andy back. But while we wait for Andy to rejoin us this morning, let me also quickly let you know that these killings that I said earlier, they are not like domiciled in a particular part of the country. They spread across the country, but were mostly carried out, listen to this, in the southeast, the northwest, and the north central regions. Now, these three regions witnessed many attacks by various armed groups during the period that we're talking about. Now, in 60 days, or say exactly 2 months away, Nigeria will hit 62 years of independence. And now, hardly a day goes by without a report of one security challenge or the other. This has got many Nigerians worrying. People are disturbed. You know your state of mind. Like, why is a country yet to stabilize on many fronts? The economy, security, equitable distribution of resources, social justice, among other indices of nationhood. I mean, why the numerous security challenges confronting Nigeria at the moment? Why are we in this position? Why? Andy joins us. Andy, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Lagos, Nigeria. Great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Andy, you heard my questions. Why are we here?
Okay, so the answer is straight up. We are here because the father is not present in the house. We are here because the things that ought to have been done by leadership, you know, leadership is not doing it. We are here because we have refused to create the mold that is necessary to make the people act in the way we want them to act. I have said continuously and consistently, a people would act exactly as the leadership of those people want them to act. Are you wondering, Sheriff, you are Muslim, are you wondering why Muslims pray the way they pray? They pray certain numbers of time in a day.
Right.
They do it very fervently, and they do not fail at praying those times because leadership ensured that that was done. If you go to Rwanda, for instance, Rwanda was a wreck. It was a complete wreck. But leadership in Paul Kagame came. And if you saw, or you go to Rwanda now, you saw what's happening in Rwanda, you would understand what I mean by leadership determining how people live and lead their lives in any community. You would not be able to trash anything in Rwanda, just throw it anyhow, and you would not get accosted. I'm talking to you from experience, personal experience. The moment we got into the airport in Rwanda, a friend of mine had a bottle in his hand. They had warned him, don't get to the airport with this. As soon as he got there, he felt like it was a bomb he was holding. Leadership indeed creates order in societies. If the father was not present in the house, the children would misbehave. Today, leadership is not present, and that's why we are here.
Let's begin to unpack. Let's start with terrorism, for instance. Let's start with the actions and activities of terror. Why have we found it difficult to tackle terrorism?
So it's a multiplicity, you know, of several factors and variables, if you may. It's an amalgam of plenty troubles. First off, I would say that the political will to fight, to tackle terrorism, has not been seen. Do you know how many times the president keeps saying, we are going to have a meeting every time there is one trouble somewhere? The president is talking about meetings with his chiefs, you know. And it has become like a jamboree. I'm sorry, it's become like a joke. there is the attack of people in the Middle Belt. There is the attack of certain people in Ondo State. There's the attack of Kuje Prison. There's the attack of this. We are always calling for a meeting. And it seems like we are never getting anything done. So first off, the political will to address this issue is not there. And the political will would mean a lot of things. So as a scientist, I understand that no disease condition can be addressed without first understanding it and making a diagnosis.
Right.
If you understood the disease condition and you failed to appropriately make the diagnosis, you failed to appropriately diagnose that that disease condition, you will not be able to treat. So if you called it malaria, you understood that you would need anti-malaria. If you called it, upper respiratory tract infection, you understood that you would need certain medication to treat it. If you called it, whatever it is that you called it, would be how you would treat. Do you know how long it took for us to call it terrorism? They were calling it banditry, as though we did not understand the differences in the definition of banditry and terrorism. We did not first do what we should have done as clinicians, understanding, cracking the condition, understanding and taking history of how it started, where it's coming from. After having done that, you call it what it is. And as soon as that was done, the people who are involved, the disease condition will understand that they have called me what I am. And the disease condition will be scared.
Right.
Today, the lack of the political will is why leadership has failed to do thorough clacking. Leadership has failed to do thorough diagnosis. Hence, they are failing in their treatment regimen.
And yeah, Potibi, thanks for dropping that. Very quickly now, let me announce at this juncture that we would like your input if you're listening right now, you've got one or two things to say as to, you know, why we're here, because that question, I've gotten so many different responses to it. Some people have said it's leadership. Some people have said it's followership. Some have said that it's lack of political will as well. I mean, on the part of leadership, some have even, you know, accused the leadership, the followership rather, of not being proactive enough, because in some other climes, those things that are happening here would have been nipped in the bud if the followership had been quite up and doing on their own part. But that's the conversation for another day. But feel free to jump on the conversation this morning if you like, if you have one or two things to add to our insecurity conversation this morning as to why we are here today. Andy, let's move forward quickly. My lines are blinking, but before I go to the telephone lines, let's talk about the current state of the country right now. We have talked about terrorism. In the current state of the country right now, we have kidnapping for ransom. You still have cattle rustling going on. You still have, you know, armed robbery, brazen armed robbery. In Lagos here, cultism is a big problem. I mean, looking at all of these other areas, because of time, I want to merge all of these things together. I mean, how do we begin to tackle this problem? How?
So it seems, yes. So Asha sang a song, and the song is really a classical song. I keep talking about it. Asha is one of the biggest prophets that we have failed to recognize. She says in the song, "One day the river would overflow, and there would be nowhere for us to go, and we would run, wishing we had put out the fire, this fire on the mountain." Indeed, there is fire. There's a proliferation of crisis everywhere in the country, from the north to the south to the east and the west. There is, and it has become so annoying that no one is safe anymore. The other time, it was the senators that said that as a result of, you know, the insecurity that had been, because it got to them that they were going to impeach the president. No one is safe. You have asked, how do we begin to fix this problem? Let me say this to you without mincing words. And I say it without equivocations, that the current leadership that we have today cannot fix this insecurity problem. The current leadership that we have cannot fix this insecurity problem. And these are my reasons. So, Sheriff,
yeah,
nobody sets exams for himself. and fails it. Anybody that sets exams for himself and fails it is one that is not fit to indeed be called a student. The current president set exams for himself and said he was going to address three issues. We didn't ask him that those were the things we wanted him to fix. We did not set the exams for him. He, by himself, with his team, said that they wanted to answer the insecurity question in our country. They wanted to answer questions around corruption. They wanted to answer questions around why the economy was bad. These three questions were the things that they set out to achieve when they got into office, you know, in 2015. Today, as I speak with you, insecurity is I don't know what words to use to describe it. The economy is consistently nosediving to the extent, you know, I was saying to them, you know, when it started that, all this you're borrowing, all this borrowing that you people are doing, you will soon start cutting our flesh to pay these monies. And so some spin doctors and I'm really sorry, of President Muhammadu Buhari will come to me and say, oh, do you understand that it's supposed to be debt to GDP? Look at what you're talking about. Debt to GDP is what they keep emphasizing, not understanding that GDP is nothing if you are not producing. It should be debt to your production level. Debt to total production level. What exactly are we producing in this country? Now, the Minister of Finance has come to tell us that we cannot even pay anymore. Mm-hmm. Our total earnings cannot pay. Now, look at corruption. It's worse off. Ministers still sit in cabinet and they are allocating contracts. Ministers still sit in cabinet and they are determining what road needed to be fixed. They are determining what project must be done. They are giving the prices of it. That is the room. That is the mitochondria of corruption. Why should ministers in cabinet be determining? This is the only country in the world, the only democracy, I don't think we are totally sane. The only country in the world where you would have ministers sit in cabinet and they are still doing that. There's a National Procurement Act that they have been trying to review since as long as I can remember. That act would have helped us to address issues around corruption. But you see, the government came and they have performed abysmally. They have performed very poorly on these three fronts. Mm. On the front of corruption and fighting corruption, insecurity and all that. I'm saying to Nigerians that are listening, that we cannot begin to solve this problem until we have taken out the cancer cells. So if you are going to treat cancer, you understood that, particularly if you did not catch it, you know, young enough or early enough, you understood that you were going to do chemotherapy or you were going to do radiotherapy. We are going to use certain kinds of therapy that would attack the cancer cells and take it out completely. If the patient was not willing to go through that therapy, it didn't matter whether the person who wanted to do that treatment was sent from heaven. Mm. So long as the patient was not willing to get that treatment, you would be unable to treat that patient. Mm. And I'm going to apply it in our context.
Oh, yeah.
So long as the president and the presidency are not willing to fix the insecurity issue, and I'm using it very intentionally, they're not willing to fight this insecurity issue, you see, we would never be able to fix it. Why do I say they are not willing? The military men, the men and women in our forces are some of the finest in the world. I make bold to say this to you. I have relationship with a lot of them. Are some of the finest in the world. We have spent heavily, and Nigerians are forgetting so soon, that the money that we used to purchase the Tucano jet and all of those things, they were monies that we even got in the first instance without going through protocols, without going through the standard, without asking the National Assembly and the governors their take before we went on to allocating those monies. We allocated them in any case. Tucano jet has come. Commander-in-Chief, give order now. Who is the commander-in-chief?
Andy, please.
Until commander-in-chief.
Andy, hold on. Yes. Hold on. We will take a very short break at this juncture. When we return, we'll continue with this. Like, please hold on to that train of thought of yours. Don't go anywhere. Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment. on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Crossfire. This Monday morning is, of course,
welcome back to the Crossfire.
Okay, I'm going to take care of that very quickly now. Now, it's 1st of August 2022, and we're starting with conversations around insecurity. That's right. That's what we're starting with. And I have Andy Akwotife, a public affairs commentator on the show this morning. And we've been rubbing minds as to, you know, why we're here and how can we begin to solve our insecurity problems. And Andy was talking about commitment, willingness to want to solve. Andy, again, welcome and thank you for joining us. Let's continue with your train of thought before we went on that break. Please go on.
Yes, so I was saying that the patient must be willing to cooperate with the physician in order to have the treatment become really very successful. So particularly if the cancer has got to the level that insecurity is in our country, it has metastasized, proliferated, multiplied, you know, in such numbers that, you know, makes Asha's song very, very prophetic, you know. That they are even in Abuja. Do not forget, when this government came into power, they were singing and pushing around such rhetorics like, oh, good luck, Billy Jonathan's government. We couldn't hold any meeting in Abuja. We couldn't do blah, 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 blah. To the extent that these people are so daring that they are saying they want to kidnap.
Hello, Andy. Andy. Ah, network. Okay. You're back.
So daring. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes. They are so daring that they want to kidnap. They say they want to kidnap a sitting president. So I'm saying that we have got to, like the patient, have executive will, the presidential will, to deal the major blow on these people that is strong enough to take them out from their roots, to take them out completely. You can't be treating gangrenous wounds and you are just putting and cutting wool on them. It is gangrenous. You have got to excavate. You have got to go in. You have got to even amputate in some instances. If the wound has become gangrenous, this insecurity issue has become gangrenous. You have got to, you can't be, you know, romanticizing. You can't be placating.
So rehabilitation is out of the question for you. Negotiation is out of the question for you.
Absolutely. Where in the world do you see in the middle of a battle that you are rehabilitating and reintegrating criminals, terrorists into the force? I've been asking them severally. You know, when you do research as a research person, you would make references to the works of other people who have done researches in that endeavor. And I'm asking, the people who made these suggestions, can they tell us, is it in Israel? Can they tell us, is it in Palestine? Can they tell us, is it in Pakistan? Can they tell us, where in the world do you see that in the middle of a battle, raging battle like this, you would take insurgents, you would take terrorists, and you integrate them into the military? What usually happens is that is done at the end. They are rehabilitated at the end, not even reintegrated into the mainstream military. Today, what do we see? We see that they are even turbaning, making a king, quote unquote, a terrorist in this same country. And there are police chiefs in that state who have said that this terrorist was one that was in their wanted list. The person came into town. He was turbaned in the presence of commissioners. And Nigerians are quiet. No head has rolled. Militants. Terrorists went into Kuje prison. They took out a prison. Weeks after, the country is quiet. No head has rolled. it speaks to the fact that there are a lot of things that we are doing that we are not doing right. And if we are unable to do it, like there's one first thing, like I was saying, that is the commander in chief. The box stops on his desk. Why is it that we all as Nigerians cannot say, Mr. President, we cannot take it anymore. We cannot take it anymore. Even the children of Israel, when they were emancipated, taken out of Egypt, where they were suffering, they got to the wilderness and they saw just a bit of suffering. You know what they did? Even though what they were seeing in the desert was nothing compared to what they saw in Egypt, they began to complain. They began to talk about it. You couldn't take us out of Egypt.
They spoke out.
Here to die. We are saying today that Nigerians, and that's why I agree with you, that a lot of Nigerians ought to have been speaking. There is such quiet that is akin to graveyard silence. Like we all have been shackled. We all have been put under some form of leash that we cannot speak. This country, for crying out loud, is ours. Mr. President, you have got to fix it. Because you said to us that you are going to fix it. A man comes to your company and applies and says he wanted a certain job.
Right.
And he gets the role. And 2 weeks into he's getting that role, he keeps giving you excuses. The company keeps going down. He's unable to fix the country. He's unable to fix the company. What would you do to such a man? He applied. For crying out loud, if the kitchen is too hot for you, get out of the kitchen.
Andy, let's take some calls in now. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. That's for female callers only. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Please, when you're calling me, make it 60 seconds, okay? So we can take as many thoughts as possible. Good morning to you.
Hello, sir. This is Alex. Okay. God bless your guest today. Please, if you get to 1 minute, you can trip me off.
Okay.
You see, Sheriff, I've had to tell you on several occasions on your shows that for me, the buck always stops squarely with the government, not the followers. You see, there's a reason. Leadership, there is something divine about leadership. In a democracy, the government is the one that the people have given. The people came together and collectively gave their will, their power to the authority. And their authority to the government to act on their behalf.
Yeah.
So when you see the people behaving crazy, out of order, let me put it that way, it's only one person that has the ability in the whole society to put people into order. And that is the government. It doesn't happen from the bottom. I don't know what kind of country that we are building. We keep blaming the government. The people keep looking back at themselves. Is it my skin is not dark enough? Is there something wrong with my face? It's not you. It's the person that you have collectively given your power to. That's the problem.
All right, Alex. Thanks for calling me. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, Shirin. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
In your previous episode, a caller said that they put bandit people into Boko Haram and into army.
Into the military.
This guest now have said it and you didn't prove him wrong. You told the caller that if the caller have evidence.
Hello, go on. You're still on.
No, I'm okay.
Okay, so
I want you to prove it.
Okay. All right. I actually don't have to prove it. The evidence is there in the public domain for you to go and check out, okay? And my guest has said what he said. What you have to do is to go and find out yourself. I have said what I said. What you have to do is to go and find out yourself. And I always say this, right? One of the greatest issues with the public, the Nigerian public, is when they hear something, they don't go and verify. They don't go and find out themselves. They just want to be fed information and they run with it. My guest is a human being, right? And you cannot say that everything he said, you are going to run with it or you are going to abandon everything he said. There has to be what you take. There has to be what you will not take. It happens with even me. If I speak sometimes, you don't take everything I say. I get, you know, criticisms every now and again. That's how it should be. Don't wait to be fed all sorts of information on air. I totally agree with the mindset of you hearing something and going to go and find out on your own. Because that's the exact attitude that has put us where we are today. We hear something, we just run straight. Broom, that's it. You read something in the papers, it's just broom, that's it. So yeah, please always endeavor to go extra mile to verify anything you read, hear, see, watch before you spread it. Very, very, very important. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
Mr. Yes, Mr. Good morning to you.
I've been listening to the conversation, and
your line is not exactly clear.
Hello?
Yes, please. Let's try again. Go on.
Okay. I said good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Morning to you, sir.
Yeah. My name is Tony. I'm calling from Ikoyi.
Good to have you.
Yeah. The man, he gave re-analysis. Back from the beginning, all what he said is truth. But we are hiding from it. Because one, right from the beginning, when Mr. President was campaigning in 2014-15, he said he's going to tackle these three major corruption, the insecurity, and the economy, but none he did. Because let's go to the insecurity, which is our major problem today. Somehow, this government, I'm sure, they know something about the insecurity. That's why they're doing nothing about it. If not, why? What would take the, when they have all the Tucano jet and whatever, and they are lying down low without using them? Is that why they bother? I can't understand where we are going to. They have agenda. If they have agenda, I think we begin to see some of the things that we are hearing about. I think we are making research, just as you said.
Okay.
We are making research, and those research are true. If you want this country to be in that,
right?
But if they want it to, if they want it to everybody to fall apart, good for us.
Thank you, my friend, for calling me. Appreciate it. And if I may add to the issue of Tucano jets, you know, when you're approaching, first of all, our human rights record are very poor in the international community. Very, very poor. So if anybody wants to help you, they would make you go through some processes. One of those processes would be for you to sign to some form of agreement that this is and this and that is what you're going to do. This is what you're not going to do. Part of such move is when we're buying the Tucano jet, one of the conditions is that they're going to use it for the exact purpose that they're buying those jets for, and that is the Northeast, Boko Haram in the Northeast. Now we have a situation at hand. They're spreading to the Northwest, they're in the North Central. They're attacking Owo. It's a terror attack as well, so you can say that they're in the Southwest. So what happens then? So I think that there's a bit more of explanations to why these Tucano jets are not being used in the Northwest, in the North Central. And you could understand that it's because of perhaps if we can further the negotiation as to reevaluate and review the agreement that we signed, then we can. I see Andy may want to jump on this. Andy. Can you hear me, Andy?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, please go on.
You asked if we could reevaluate the agreement we signed.
Yes.
Okay, so there are always conditions precedent to draw down in everything in life. Bible would speak to the fact that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his work? He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. He that sows would likewise reap. Condition precedent to draw down in the realm of the supernatural, spiritual, and in the realm of the physical or the natural. Condition precedent to draw down. If you therefore wanted to reap, you understood that you must first do everything necessary to sow in. If you therefore wanted to eat of the good of the land, you knew you have got to be willing and obedient. I have said all this to say to you
yeah.
that if you knew you wanted to have the international community come to help you. Because in any case, we are not doing anything in this country. That's not that thing that annoys me. Everything in your studio now, everything in that studio that you're talking from was imported. Even this so-called native they said they are wearing, the material of this so-called native, they say, I'm dressed like a Nigerian, I'm dressed in an African attire. The material, they import from all. Everything, virtually everything. Therefore, if you knew that you wanted the help of people, you must conform yourself to the askings, the conditions precedent to draw down. What did they say must be done by you before you can access XYZ? So have a government that understood that they do not manufacture bullets, understood that they do not manufacture anything, and they had been told condition precedent to draw down, and they couldn't comply. It was already fait accompli. It was ab initio. The result of how the international community was going to look at us was known from the beginning. So I'm saying that, Sheriff, to Nigerians, this government did not just wake up to hear that in order for you to use the Tucano, in order for you to use this, you have got to do this. In any case, they took our monies to go and pay for it. Who does that? Without looking for the conditions, who would use these machines that we are getting? Who? Do we have the capacity to use it? Are our military men and women trained adequately enough? There are certain questions you ought to have asked yourself before you moved, before you ventured. Now we spent billions of dollars, billions, mark my words, billions of dollars. And I have said consistently on my Facebook page and several other fora that when a good government comes and we open this can of worm around what is happening with the monies we have spent to buy these machines, Nigerians will shudder at what they will see. On that hand, and on the hand of the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, if a good government comes and they open whatever happened, transpired in that ministry, Nigerians would consistently be pilting.
Andy, let me take some more calls very quickly before we go, because we're constantly the time is fast going. Good morning to you. Morning to you.
Morning.
Oh no.
For your honesty, but also
I'm really sorry. Poor connection. Do try and call me back. Okay. Do try and call me back. Nigeria Info. Good morning to you.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm calling from Akin, Otago State.
Welcome, Akin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing us on the Tucano jet, the agreement signed by the government, and these people are the same people who have caused all this wahala we are facing, not only in this country, but throughout the West African country, by destabilizing the Libya today. Proliferation of small arms, that is what is causing this problem all over West Africa today. And the U.S. and its allies are behind this. Sir, these same people gave us conditions, and we are desperate. That is why we went for those things. We need surveillance, air surveillance from above. That is why we went for it. Not just that Russia gave us conditions where we're buying the MI-35 helicopter. I'm sorry. Your speaker seems to speak like a motivational speaker than a security expert. And that is the problem of our military. I don't need the commander-in-chief give me order before I know what to do to my enemy. Why did it when he was a commander? He chased those bastards into 50 kilometers into Chad then. He was even apprehended that why did he go against the orders of Shagari then? Why the regional military not doing such thing? Let's say the truth where it is. So I have a phone now. Come and kill me.
Akin, thank you for calling me. Hold on, Andy. I have Nenna, who has been waiting since Akin joined. Nenna, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, your guest may not have said what we didn't know before.
But the fact still remains. Can you imagine the Lai Mohammed? BBC showed us faces. When they want to show us their own within the country, they cover their faces. And you say you're looking for those that went to Kuje prison. And that they've shown you these are the people. Are they afraid that one day we'll see one of their former security men or relation of theirs or something? Please, they should just do something. You understand?
Yeah.
They should just do something. Whatever I have suggested, see, all this forest and all, go up, spray something that will make everybody sleep. Then the land troop will go in. When you now separate the people that are captured and those that are capturing them, what are we doing? What are they? What terms are they doing their own? On what terms? Somebody said it's chemical. They are so chemical what? Spray something above. Let everybody sleep. Catch the cows. Catch the men. Everybody there. And it will end.
Thank you. And then, Andy, we need to go now. You were going to respond to something.
Yes, let me just say, narratives like what was just spilled are narratives that help to fuel, to drive the nonsense in this country. Let me tell you why. The man just suggested that the captains, the commanders, ought to know what they should have done. Okay, let's even assume, without conceding, that the commanders do not know what they should have done. Why is the president still letting them remain? Is it not just one person that is the commander-in-chief? If as a president you are sitting and you realize that the people you have as commanders are not doing what they ought to do, would you still continue to sit there?
Andy, we have to go.
What kind of narratives are all these that people are driving in the society?
Andy.
There is just one chief executive in this establishment called Nigeria, and that chief executive is the president.
Andy.
The ball stops on his desk.
Andy.
And he should take responsibility. He should take culpability where culpability is.
Andy.
And he's domiciled on his footstep.
I have to go.
On his footstool.
We have to go now, Andy. Andy, we have to leave it here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it. Andy Akpotive, a social comment. Andy is not a security expert. We are looking at security situation from the social perspective, from you, from me, you know, how we can put an end to it. That's our conversation this morning, just to correct that notion that Akin shared earlier. The winner of our hunts today is Adaku. Adaku Opo, you are the winner of 5,000 Naira on the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5. That's our show today. Bye for now.
More talk, news, and sports after this.
ITEL TV.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.